who have taken this opportunity to come to our temple, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, for this Sunday program today. And as it has been announced, this is the first lecture of this series based on the 9 processes of devotional service. In the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this was the verse related by Shri Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was a small boy. His father asked him, "My dear son, what did you learn in school?" And he wanted to understand as to what his child was learning in school, as is any parent's desire. And he thought maybe the child will answer in some nice way, something that would be quite interesting for any ordinary parent. So Prahlad mentioned this verse. "What is the best thing that you learnt in school? What do you think is the most important knowledge that one should acquire?" And Prahlad says, "Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, Iti Pungsar Pita Vishnu, Bhaktischenavalakshana, Kriyeta Bhagavati Adha, Tanmanedhitam Uttamam." According to me, the most important thing in life is to have such type of activities in relationship with Vishnu. Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So what are those activities? Shravanam Vishnu, Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Vishnu, Archanam Vishnu, Pada Sevanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam Vishnu. In this way, one should engage all of one's activities to understand, to have a relationship, to develop that relationship, and in that relationship serve Krishna, serve Vishnu in such a way that Vishnu becomes pleased. Iti pumsa arpita Vishnu. This is what the living entity should offer to Vishnu. And this is called as Navadha Bhakti, or the ninefold process, the ninefold process of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam. Shravanam or hearing. Once upon a time there was an old couple, and this old couple was staying in America, and they had, their children had grown up and they were staying somewhere else, so the couple was staying alone. So one day this old man went to his doctor for his checkup. And after his checkup was done, the doctor said, "All right, Mr. So-and-so, it's okay now. You may go. And please take these precautions." So the old man voiced his concern. He said, "Doctor, I'm concerned about something." "What is that?" the doctor inquired. He said, "I'm concerned about my wife." "What is it about your wife that you're concerned of?" "I think my wife is going deaf. She cannot hear. She has some hearing problem. But I'm not sure whether actually she is going deaf or no." Doctor said, "All right, before you get her in for a checkup, you could just testify this. Just make a small experiment. Today evening, when your wife and you are sitting together, stand at a distance of 15 yards and ask something of your wife. Ask her, 'My dear wife, do you hear me?' If there's no response, then go a little closer. Go to 10 yards and ask her, 'My dear wife, do you hear me?' If still there's no response, go still closer. And this way you can understand what is the seriousness of a problem. So the old man went home. Sure enough, in the evening, the wife was in the lounge in her armchair, and the old man decided to test her. He stood at a distance of 15 yards and in a very, very loving voice said, "My dear wife, do you hear me?" No response. Then he goes to 10 yards and says, "My dear wife, do you hear me?" Still no response. He goes 5 yards, little closer, 5 yards from his wife. "My dear wife, do you hear me?" No response. So this is too much for him. So he just goes right next to her ear and says, "My dear wife, do you hear me?" And the wife replies, "For the fourth time, yes." So obviously, hearing is very important. Depends on who's hearing. We are going to refer to a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is spoken by Sri Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami is the wonderful son of Romaharshana Suta and the disciple of Shukadeva Goswami. In hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from him, the scene is that Suta Goswami is amongst 80,000 sages at Naimisharanya. Like we are all gathered here, around 1,000, 1,500 devotees at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. About 5,000 years ago, such a gathering took place at Naimisharanya, the wonderful forest there. And 80,000 of sages had come together to hear from Suta Goswami. Like here we have mic facilities and sound system. In the Naimisharanya forest, there was no such facility. So it speaks much about the speaker speaking and the listeners hearing. And therein, this verse is there from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Suta says, Shri Suta Uvach, Ittetan muni tanayasya padmagandha, Piyusham bhava bhayabhita parasya pungsa, Sushlokam shravanapute pibatya bhikshnam, Panthodhva brahmana parishamana jahati. Translation, Shri Suta Goswami said, "Thus did this fragrant nectar flow from the lotus mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, the son of the sage Vyasadeva. This wonderful glorification of the Supreme Person destroys all fear of material existence. A traveler who constantly drinks this nectar through his ear holes will forget the fatigue brought on by wandering along the path of worldly life." So this is a very interesting verse, and based on this verse, we'll speak on this topic of hearing. Why has this aspect of hearing been given so much importance? Shravan. What is so important about this? And here Suta Goswami is giving a hint. He says, Shukadeva Maharaj spoke very nicely, and that which he spoke, it came from his mouth, which is just like a lotus. Just as a lotus has got wonderful fragrance, so did his words, which emanated from his lotus lips, have wonderful fragrance. And it was nectarine to hear. It was fragrant nectar. Because he was glorifying the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. And then he says, a traveler who is traveling along the path of worldly life often gets weary and tired, thirsty. If this traveler happens to pass beside this nectarine flow of the topics of the Supreme Lord emanating from Sukhdev Goswami's mouth, what happens? That thirst can be thoroughly quenched. Simply by the traveler allowing that nectar to flow into his ear holes. Just allowing it to go into his ear holes. His thirst will get quenched. Right? Just like, how do we understand what is fragrant nectar? Fragrant nectar is just like 12:30 p.m. chhach offered. You know, we had chhach downstairs. Buttermilk. It quenched our thirst. It was nectarine. So Sukhdev Suta Goswami is saying, from Sukhdev Maharaj's lips was flowing nice buttermilk, which quenches the thirst of all the living entities who are wandering along the paths of worldly life. In this world we find that if a child has got certain defect, that defect manifests in an impairment. Let us consider two or three functions in which a child could be defective. Supposing a child is born blind, obviously the sense of sight is not there. The child cannot understand the external world. Everything is dark for him. So there is defect in his vision. There is an impairment, vision impairment. Supposing a child is dumb, the child cannot speak. Communication cannot take place. So obviously there is some impairment, speech impairment. Now let us suppose a child is born deaf. Obviously a child cannot hear. No sound is recognized by the child because he is born deaf. So obviously there is hearing impairment. Yes? So if he is born blind, there is vision impairment. If the child is born dumb, there is speech impairment. And if the child is born deaf, there is hearing impairment. But another thing takes place. A child that is born deaf is also dumb. The child need not be dumb. The tongue may be perfect, the vocal cords may be perfect, everything is all right. But a deaf child is almost always dumb. Since he has never heard any sound and never understood any sound, he can produce no sound. So this defect of hearing not only impairs us in understanding something, it also has an impairment, it also has an effect on speaking, on communication. And therefore, we find that so much stress has been placed on proper shravanam or hearing. One great person by the name Herodotus, he has said, despite the fact that his ears and hearing play such an important role, men trust their ears less than their eyes. We place so much faith in what we see, thinking that what we see is what I believe, what I see is what I believe. But the saying is that there's a caution in this saying. Can we place all our trust in what we see? What about the trust that should be placed in what we hear? Another saying for that matter goes, in this world, there are many problems. And it is required that people are acquainted with their problems, they are told about their problems, and a solution is given to them. But this saying says, the world is dying for want not of preaching but of good hearing. Preaching is going on. There is no dearth of preaching, but there is dearth of good hearing. Our own founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he would often mention and tell his disciples, don't try to see with your eyes, see with your ears, for that is more perfect. Try to see with your ears. Science has done a lot of study on this aspect of hearing or listening. And according to the scientists who have studied oral reception and oral in the field of sound, they say there are 5 types of listening. Every category of listening can be placed into 5 types, generally speaking. The first type of listening is ignoring. Have you ever noticed a dialogue between 2 or more persons where someone is very, very animated speaking and somebody else is like, yes? Plain ignorance. You understand he's not interested in hearing. But still, as a matter of etiquette, that person is sitting there. So listening is taking place, but it is plain ignorance. Second type of listening is pretend listening. You know what is pretend listening? So what do you think about it? What did you say? So it's as if the person is all ears, but he's dwelling in some other world. Yes? Happens a lot in class and spiritual discourses. There's a funny story which is always repeated about spiritual discourses. One discourse was going on very fine, and the speaker noticed one particular person in the audience who was very much moved by the discourse, and tears were rolling down the eyes. So after the discourse, he approached that person and said, what did you find so moving during the course of the discourse? He said, my dear speaker, I had a goat which had a beard just like yours. And the goat, whenever it would move its head, the beard would be flowing to and fro like this, just as when you move your head, it goes to and fro. Just yesterday, few days back, my goat died. Therefore, whenever I see your beard moving like this, I remember my goat. And it brings tears to my eyes. My dear goat. So, such type of listening goes on. Then third type of listening is called selective listening. Ever experienced selective listening? Especially those who are married, they are well aware of this. In the evening, the husband comes home, the wife is in the kitchen, or the wife is the other way around, whatever. The husband takes a newspaper like this, and the wife goes on, and you know this happened and that happened, and today's bill came, and he's, oh yes, 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 yes. Are you listening? Yeah, the bill, yeah. So there's selective listening going on. Just listening to a few words, what he wants to hear. Selective listening. Yeah. Students often have this attitude. They always try to understand what the examiner or the person who's speaking, the professor, what of that is going to come in the exam. Very selectively they'll choose that and the rest all, okay. Today's practical, is it going to come for the exam? No, selectively missed out. So selective listening. Fourth is called attentive listening. Attentive listening means paying attention and focusing on what the speaker is saying. Being focused on what the speaker is saying and trying to correlate that with one's own experiences. Like the speaker today, maybe I mentioned that Sukhdev Maharaj, from his mouth is flowing chach or nectar, and one experiences, one is troubled in worldly life, there was so much heat. At 12:30, there was nice buttermilk. So there was focus and immediate relationship with some experience. So such a listening is helpful. And it's called as attentive listening. And the fifth type of listening is emphatic listening. Emphatic listening means listening and responding with the heart and mind to understand the speaker's words, his intent, and feelings. In this type of listening, one tries to understand what the speaker wants me to accept or wants me to receive from him. One is very much receptive. And what is he receptive to? What is the person receptive to? The person is receptive to what the speaker is speaking in terms of his words, the intent behind those words, and the feelings behind those words. There's an Arabic saying. It states, the mind is for seeing and the heart is for hearing. In other words, many people may listen, but a few people actually hear. Hearing means to understand the intent, the feelings. Both attentive listening and emphatic listening come in the category of hearing, because there is focus. Best is an emphatic way of listening, trying to understand what the speaker or the person who is speaking wants to offer. Hence, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjun in the 7th chapter, Tat Shrinu. 6 chapters Krishna has spoken and now he says, Tat Shrinu. Hear that, now hear that. So till 6 chapters, what was Sri Arjun doing? Wasn't he hearing? But Krishna wants to make a point. He says, now hear. Put your heart into hearing. Till now you had many misconceptions. I've tried to remove those misconceptions. I've tried to remove whatever inhibitions you had. And now if those inhibitions, those misconceptions have been removed, now hear. Attentively. Focus. Accept. Understand. Within your heart. Don't see with your mind, but receive within your heart. One of my dear friends, he says, Krishna says, Tat Shrinu. Or in Hindi, Meri Awaaz Suno. Hear my voice. Yes? So he says, he plays with words. He says, Me, M-E means mine, and Shrinu or hear means Suno. So Krishna is saying, Suno me. And if you don't suno me, then tsunami. Suno me or tsunami? What do you want to do? If there is no suno me, don't listen to Krishna, then tsunami makes you listen to Krishna. So, interesting point. Does hearing help us in any ways? Is it really beneficial? In what way is hearing beneficial? So this is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam kathamritam shravanaputeshu sambhritam punanti te vishaya vidushitashayam vrajanti tacharana saro ruhantikam. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarine message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life, known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Krishna. This verse is referring to the polluted aim of life. Everyone is living. Life force is there, every place, sarva gataha. And if we inquire from someone, they have some aim. Or they should at least have some aim in life. In the famous fairy tale book, Alice in Wonderland, this is about a young girl who happens to somehow enter Wonderland, some very wonderful place. And she sees many mysterious things happening there. And as she's walking along different paths and different places, she's seeing many wonderful sights. She comes to a crossroad. And at that crossroad, she does not know where to go now. Four directions, four roads. She doesn't know where to go. So there is an owl who is sitting on a tree close by. This owl sees that this girl is slightly perturbed, disturbed. So the owl asks her, "Dear Missy, where do you want to go? You appear to be disturbed. What is the cause of your disturbance?" She says, "I don't know. Where do these roads go?" So the owl asks her, "Where do you want to go?" She says, "I don't know where I want to go." So the good owl says, "Then does it matter which road you take? Does it really matter which road you take?" So some people have some aim in mind. Some may not have an aim in mind, but ultimately they will reach an aim. The road will lead them to some destination. Right? So here the verse is saying, generally in life, we have aims that are polluted. What does that mean? Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that for the living being, there are two aspects. There are two persons. Sorry, not two persons, but two different aspects of a living person. One is the living force, and the second is the container or the body in which the living force is there. One is the deha and the other is the dehi. The body and the possessor of the body, or the person who lives within the body. And this person who lives within the body is on a journey wherein the body takes him through different platforms. Young, before that childhood, youth, old age, and finally death. But then Krishna says, those who are very intelligent do not follow this path. But they have a different aim in life. They do not travel along the same path that is taken by the general populace. So what is this general path that is taken by the general populace? For that, there is a nice explanation in the Mukunda Mala Stotra by King Kulashekhar Maharaj. King Kulashekhar Maharaj is a very powerful king of southern India and a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. In one of his remembrances of the Lord, he writes wonderful praises of the Lord, which are collected together to form a series of verses in a poetic form, Mukunda Mala Stotra. And he offers them as a necklace unto the Supreme Lord. These verses, as a garland of verses, is offered to Lord Mukunda. Just as it is stating, they purify the polluted aim. One becomes free from the polluted aim of life. So freedom means liberation or mukti. And the name Mukunda means mukti pradata iti Mukunda. One who can offer mukti or liberation is Mukunda. So he's offering prayers unto Lord Mukunda. And there he's explaining the polluted aim of life that one has. Andhasya merita vivek mahadhanasya chaure prabho balibirindriya namadei mohandhaku pakuhare vinipatitasya devesha dehi kripanasya karavalambam devesha dehi kripanasya karavalambam. O Lord, my body has been equipped with senses, and the senses are very powerful. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, very powerful senses. They are dragging me hither and thither. forcing me to try to enjoy in this way or that way. Either they are always making me hanker to obtain something, or they are making me lament for something that is lost. And thus, I have been caught in the network of this powerful senses. And who are they? Chaurehi. They are chor. They are thieves. They have stolen away something that is very, very dear to me. Something that is really my benefactor, my well-wisher. Mahadhanasya. The most worthy treasure that I have. These thieves have robbed away that treasure. And what is that? Ritta Vivek. They have stolen away my ability to discriminate as to what I should be doing. A simple example can be given. Majority of the times in our lives, many of us simply go through the routine of trying to satisfy the demands of the senses. It's very clear. For someone who does not know about God, that person may have many habits. One of the habits could be smoking a cigarette. Just an example. We could give many examples. Smoking a cigarette. And this person may say that I am smoking my cigarette and whenever I want I can give it up. Right? Whenever I want I can give it up. So I have my intelligence. With my intelligence, if I decide, I will give up smoking. But kindly observe this person. When he goes to the shop to buy his cigarette, there are multitudes of different brands of cigarettes there. But only one of the brands will beckon him. Come here and take me. He says, I can give up smoking anytime. And out of the thousands of brands of cigarette there available, one particular brand is controlling him. Come, pick me up. A person who is controlled by a particular brand of cigarette, one particular brand of cigarette is controlling him such that of the others, automatically, without thinking, many a times he'll choose that. And if the option is not available, he'll ask. In Hindi they say, "Wo nahi hai." Is that not there? Sometimes they even reject smoking if that brand is not there. So how can this person give up smoking ever? Because he is being controlled by that. That is called thieves. They have totally controlled us and our intelligence. And for those who practice Krishna consciousness, it could be anything. Yes, it could be prasad. A particular brand, a particular dish, a particular delicacy. Of all the items that are available as prasad, even Mahaprasad, of all the particular variety of kirtans that is there, is that not there? Is this variety not available? This particular brand of cookies or whatever, is that not available? Alright, tomorrow I'll come. Make it sure that it is there tomorrow. We'll book it right now. So this is the meaning of being controlled. Obviously for devotees, because it is prasad, purification will take place. That is another subject matter. It will be covered later on in other lectures. But we understand what is the meaning of Ritta Vivek. Huh? This aspect of trying to use one's intelligence is lost. And because intelligence is lost, andhasya, one becomes blind. And what can a blind man do? A blind man will only trip and fall. That is all a blind man can do. So here, this is the polluted aim of life. The polluted aim of life is being controlled by our senses, by our desires, by our aspirations, by our hankerings. and making every single endeavor, both day and night, somehow to achieve it. If not during the day, then at night, during dreams. Somehow to achieve that. And that is called as Samsara Davanal. It is the blazing forest fire of material existence. If the heat in this room is slightly uncomfortable, let us think of this innumerable thoughts and aspirations and desires that we have that constantly burn our heart and our existence. It's so uncomfortable. We make so many arrangements to be comfortable in this heat. What is the arrangement to be comfortable from this blazing forest fire? What is the arrangement that we make to be free from this blazing forest fire? And King Kulashekhar is saying, thus having been pushed into a moha andhakupa, into a deep dark well of illusion. Deep dark well of illusion. Sri Prabhupada gives an example, or somebody else gives an example of what is this illusion. He says, once there was a very, very rich man, a millionaire. And one day, he was passing in his car through a village, his own village, from where he had started off as a very poor peasant, very poor man. Just on that thought, a poor man. Once a poor man became very rich, so somebody came to him. Can you tell me how I can become rich? 1,000 ways to become rich, at least one of those thousands you can tell me. How did you become rich? Please. He said, all right, I will tell you. It all started off in the depression of 1930. In 1930, there was a big depression in the whole world. Economic depression. And one evening, I had one apple. So the whole day I was polishing it. And in the evening, I sold it for 50 cents. 50 paisa. So I got 50 paisa. But in 50 paisa, I could buy two apples. So the next day, the whole day I was polishing these two apples. And by evening, I sold those two apples for $2. So now I had a profit, and in $2 I could buy 8 apples. And then what do you think happened the third day? And then he said, on the third day, my wife's father, he died and left me $2 million. That's how I became rich. So there was this rich man, somehow he had worked very hard to become rich. As he was passing through his village, he found a young person in a very, what he considered to be being very lazy. He was sleeping on a nice bed under a tree. So he went up to this young man and said, why are you wasting your youth? Why don't you do some work? See, when I was young, I did not have any money. I worked hard day and night. And now I'm traveling in this car. I am so wealthy. So the young man asked him, really? So what do you think I should do? He said, you should work very hard. And by working hard, what will happen? By working hard, you'll get money. Then what should I do? You should invest that money. And from that, what will come? From that, more profit will come. And then what should I do? With that profit, buy a small business. Then develop your business. Then what? Invest in bigger, in corporations. Then what? Become a big corporate magnate, a big, very rich person. And then what? Then finally, when you're rich, you have a lot of money. You can take some free time, come to the village, lie down on a bed under a tree and enjoy. So he said, if the whole purpose of this gamut is to come and lie under a tree on a bed and enjoy, I'm already doing that. So what is the purpose in doing everything else? So this is called as the deep dark well of existence. Not that we don't have to work. Not that we should not try to improve economically and otherwise. But we should use our intelligence. We should have the proper purpose. Otherwise, will go into this deep quagmire. So then he prays, please, my dear Lord, please let me take shelter of your lotus feet. Please extend your hand and save me. And so, when we, in this way, the Lord extends his hand to save us, what is that extension of the hand? That was referred to in the previous verse, where we said the polluted aim of life. This polluted aim of life is purified by those who drink through oral reception. Hearing is also a very personal function. As I said, all of us may be hearing, but obviously nobody knows who's hearing except we. Isn't that correct? Who can guarantee that? Can anyone else give a guarantee to somebody else being a nice hearer? Not much chances are there, isn't it? But there is one person who is always hearing. Sarva-bhuteshu. What is that? Ishvara sarva-bhutanam riddeshu arjuna tishthati. I am situated in everyone's heart as the Lord. And I am observing everything. So there is this person who is hearing everything. Once upon a time, there was an old man. He went to his doctor and said, I have a hearing problem. Can you give me some hearing aids? You know, some machine that can help me in hearing. So doctor gave him very nice hearing aids. He put on those aids and went home. And for a few days, he never came back with any problem to his doctor. After a couple of weeks, he comes back to his doctor. And doctor says, is everything all right? I never saw you for a few weeks. Are you hearing properly? He said, doctor, I'm hearing perfectly. Oh, that's very good. Have you told your family about that? Do they know that you're hearing properly? He said, no. I never told them that I'm hearing. But I'm listening to whatever they say. Until now, I have changed my will 3 times. Yes. So there is someone who's here listening. Within the heart. We don't know how many times he's changed his will. We may think he's deaf. We may think he's sleeping. But he never sleeps. So one should be very careful. Although it is a very personal function, there is someone who's constantly seeing what we are doing. And we have to be true to him. Being true to oneself means being true to that person within. Who hears everyone, who sees everything, who never sleeps. A good hearer is also noticed by a very sensitive person. By a person who is very sensitive to the vibrations of such persons. One example is one saint that we know of. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was a very well-known saint living in India around 50 or 80 years back. He was staying sometimes in Bengal and sometimes in Mathura, Vrindavan. One day, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was invited to give a pravachan, a lecture. And thousands of people had gathered within that gathering. But Babaji Maharaj could judge what happens when many people gather, how many of them are receptive. So he was not very much inclined to speak if everyone was not very receptive. So then he made a plan. He made an announcement. In the next village is a very nice Rath Yatra celebration. And many big people have sponsored all the food there. Nice decorations have been made. Those who are interested in seeing the Rath Yatra because the Lord is there can please, without any feeling of guilt or remorse, go there. And much of the audience left. And those who remained, Babaji Maharaj said, all right, now we'll speak to you. Since you want to hear, now I'll speak to you. The rest, many of them were only interested in food. Some were interested in some other people's wallets, their pockets. Some were interested in watching each other, how they nicely dressed, how they walked, how they talked, how they behaved. The attraction for the opposite sex, some were interested in that. So Rath Yatra is a good occasion for all of these things. So they have left. And those who are interested in hearing, by which they can purify their polluted aim of life, now, without any hindrance of the others, can listen. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he would often mention of himself. He would say, I would always make a point to hear from my spiritual master. And one day, at one particular time, somebody mentioned to my spiritual master, my dear Guru Maharaj, this is Abhay Babu. He comes sometimes to hear your lectures. And his spiritual master, his divine grace Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami Maharaj, said, yes, I have noticed him. He likes to hear. He does not go away. And Prabhupada said, that quality of mine was noticed by my spiritual master. So those who are very sensitive persons also notice a good hearer. Good hearing involves two aspects. If there is good hearing to take place, there must be a potent speaker and there must be a receptive hearer. But hearing itself is so powerful that if either one of them is present, still an amazing effect takes place. If there is only a potent speaker, but the hearer is not very receptive, but still that hearer is within the audience of his speech, an amazing effect will take place. And similarly, if the speaker is not very potent, but somehow or the other, the speaker speaks something that is very well received by the hearer, an amazing change takes place. A miracle almost. As I was going to deliver this lecture, one of my good friends told me that whatever happens, try to speak about Vrindavan. Somehow. So this particular aspect is for all of you all at your service and also for this particular friend. What happens if there is a potent speaker? Let me give you an example. Once upon a time, there was a Bhagavat Katha taking place. And the speaker was speaking from his heart. And he was speaking in a very, very potent way. And the entire audience was enthralled. Within that audience happened to come a thief. He was trying to escape from the police. But the police was close on his heels. So he thought, in this gathering, I will be lost. So he entered that gathering, stayed there for some time. And as it was, the police did not find him, they left. So this person, this thief, was thinking that the police has left. But as I am sitting here, let me just continue and sit and see what is happening here. So throughout the entire incident, he did not hear anything. The speaker was speaking on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was speaking about Krishna's childhood pastimes. And he was mentioning how Krishna as a young boy is very beautiful. He was describing his beautiful features. And specifically he was describing that how his mother Yashoda every day decorates him with so many beautiful ornaments. Ties his hair in such a wonderful way with a peacock feather and puts a flute in his belt and sends him off to the pasturing grounds. So when this thief heard this, he immediately got attracted. Why was he attracted? A young boy with so many gold ornaments? Interesting. Very interesting. The thief thought, if somehow I can find this boy and steal all of his ornaments, I'll never have to perform this occupation again ever. It will be a lifetime job. Once. So then he became very, very interested. Let me hear. So the speaker went on speaking and said, so then Krishna goes into the pasturing grounds along the Yamuna river. And there, near to this forest called Vanshivat. He stands there under a beautiful tree. And there he starts playing his flute. And in the evening he goes back home to Nandagaon. Nandagaon is one of the beautiful places in Vrindavan. So he was hearing all these names. And he said, I should never forget this. There is this boy called Krishna. His mother is Yashoda. In the place called Vrindavan, along the Yamuna. And after that gathering was over, he just remembered this. Gopal, he was speaking of Krishna as Gopal. Gopal, Yamuna, Yashoda, Vrindavan. So he asked everyone, anyone he would meet on the way, he'd say, do you know where is Vrindavan? And people would direct him that side. And somebody would say, what Vrindavan? He said, you know, there the boy Gopal stays with his mother Yashoda. Very beautiful. And this way slowly was related towards Vrindavan. And because he wanted to meet Krishna, somehow Krishna met him. Finally, by mercy of Krishna, he became purified. And once he was purified, Krishna says, all right, since you have come, take all my jewels. And the man said, these jewels, they are simply like pieces of glass in front of the jewel of having your association. They are worthless. Don't cheat me again. You've already cheated me of this wonderful jewel of your association. Please don't cheat me again. So here, because there was a very potent speaker, somehow or the other, he heard something and became attracted to some aspect of that hearing of due to his own inclinations. We find that the great dacoit, Valmiki, before he was Valmiki, he became attracted to Mara. Yeah, I can relate to Mara. I cannot relate to Ram. I don't know. I cannot even pronounce it. But Mara, I know, because I've killed many persons. So his inclination was that. He became attracted to that. He chanted that, purified. Because he received it from a potent speaker. Here the receiver is not very receptive, but the speaker is potent. What happens when the receptor is very receptive and the speaker is not so potent? Another example from Vrindavan. There was once a very wealthy merchant in Bengal. He had a big palatial house, a big landlord. One day he happened to have some bodily business, some bodily functions along the bank of the Ganga. And after performing his bodily functions, he was just cleaning himself on the banks, close to a boat, a jetty, where boats dock in. So as he was cleaning himself, an old lady, she somehow or the other banged into him. And she said, please don't waste time. Please do your things fast. She was saying, hurry up cleaning up, so that time is not wasted. So this wealthy merchant, he heard these words. Don't waste time, hurry up. Time is going. At that moment, he immediately got onto the boat, crossed the Ganga, walked all the way across to Vrindavan, and became a very famous saint by the name of Lala Babu, and built a beautiful temple by going around begging for alms from everyone to have a temple. If you ever visit Vrindavan, please go and see this wonderful temple, Lala Babu ka Mandir. So he was a receptive hearer. The words were spoken by just in a common way. But because he was receptive, he accepted it. And he took it as, this is someone telling me, don't waste your human form of life. Time is flying. Hurry, hurry. Death can come at any moment. So immediately he hurried to Vrindavan and took shelter of Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, these powerful pastimes or glories of Krishna, their effect, and also those who speak, their glories are explained in a nice verse. Tava katha amritam tapta jivanam kave bhiriditam kalma shapaham shravana mangalam shrimadatatam bhuvi grinanti ye bhuri da jana. The nectar of your words and the description of your activities are this life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So this verse describes the glories of hearing the wonderful message of the descriptions of the activities of the Supreme Lord from potent speakers in a very receptive way. And a glorious result is obtained by that. Does hearing have any time frame, any bondage? Can we say, at this age, at this time, in this place, we cannot hear? Actually, no. Let us give you some examples. Hearing can benefit one at any stage of life. In fact, it is beneficial from the womb to the tomb. Within the womb, Prahlad Maharaj heard from Shripad Narad Muni. And what he heard stayed with him throughout his life. Helped him through all the miserable times, the testing times of life. Helped him to sustain. And the only time he heard was when he was in the womb of his mother. He explains that after that I could never hear from Shripad Narad Muni. My mother was not interested in hearing much, but I was very much receptive in hearing. As a young child, we hear the example of Narad Muni. Narad Muni in his previous life as a young child served some very great saints. He received many benedictions from them, and one of the benedictions was he heard from them. And by hearing from them, all the misconceptions of life were gone from his conscience, from his being. He began to understand what is perfect, what is correct, what is wrong, what is illusory. What are the modes of material nature, how they act, what are attachments in this world, what are the aversions in this world. He understood everything at a very tender young age. And with that understanding, he went on to practice an ascetic way of life. So Prahlad, or here Narada, he never... There are many examples of people at a young age. We find that in the Shastra. As an old man, the example is of Ajamil. Ajamil was almost about to die. As a very old person. And then he heard the conversation between the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas. And that changed completely the goal and the understanding of life that he had. We also have the example of Parikshit Maharaj, who even as the snake bird was biting him and he was being killed, he told the sages, continue on chanting the glories of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, the Vishnu Gatha. What to speak of that? If after that somehow or the other one has an inauspicious birth, such as a ghost body. Once Thakur Bhakti Vinod, one of the acharyas, one of the saints, understood that in one particular place there was a Brahma Rakshas, a ghost. So he made a very pure disciple and Brahmanas from that village to sit down and recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And because he recited Srimad Bhagavatam in a very, very pure way, the ghost got liberated from his ghost body. So even a ghost cannot say that I have no place for hearing. Simply by hearing, all of them have got so much benefit. Pravishta karna randrena swanam bhava saroruham dhunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yathasharat. The sound vibration of Lord Krishna in form of his name and his pastimes are so powerful, and when they enter within the heart of a devotee, they sit on the lotus flower of his loving relationship and cleanse the dust of material association such as lust, anger and hankering. Thus, just as the autumnal rains clear the muddy pools of water. In autumn when the rains fall, in the rainy season when the rains come, all the water bodies become muddy. But during autumn, the autumnal rains do not make the water muddy, but they keep the reservoirs of water very clean. In medical science, there is a phenomenon called as ataxia. So those are medical students, they may know. Ataxia or ataxia or something like that. And there are many aspects to that, but one of the aspects is that this ear that we have has something to do with the balance of this body. Sometimes if the ear is infected or it is not functioning, it becomes difficult for the person to orient himself in a particular way, and specifically some balancing acts are disturbed. The person cannot stand straight for long. They start swinging. Cannot focus. So one of the tests that they do is they draw a line and tell the person to walk 1 foot ahead of the other. The heel of the previous feet should be touching, of the front feet should be touching the toes of the previous feet. And walk along this line like this. Generally, a person cannot do more than a few steps. He'll sway and fall down. Oh, there is some problem with your ear. If I remember correctly, that is what medical science says. This is very relevant. If there is some problem with our hearing, some infection, some disease, we may lose balance of where we are going, our direction. We may go wayward. And what is this waywardness if we do not properly have proper hearing? That is explained in another verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. It states, persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions like material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. In other words, the wayward aspirations for one who does not have proper hearing is to make this life very happy, to have a better life in Swarga for those who understand and believe in the conception of a heavenly planet. That is their aspiration. And for some, their highest aspiration is to be liberated, mukti, from those who are the followers of the pure science of Godhead. They consider all of this to be wayward. All of this is considered to be wayward. And why does it happen? All of these persons will be hearing. Those who have want to go for higher benefits will definitely do some pious activities by hearing through someone. But because that hearing has some problem, the balance is affected. They become wayward. Srila Prabhupada would often say that many people want to keep mauna or silent. But he says, proper silence means speaking only of Krishna or God. That is silence or mauna. Similarly, proper hearing means hearing only of Krishna or God. That is real hearing. There are some people who believe in the three monkeys. Prabhupada never advocated much of that. He said, we never cover any of these things. We always keep our eyes open to see, to read the wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, to see the vigraha form of the Lord, to see devotees. We always keep our ears very much open to hear what is happening in these places related to this. And we always speak about this. And nothing else. If we are silent about speaking about Krishna's glories, beware, something is wrong. Once upon a time, a man used to live next to a railway station, a railway line rather. And every day he would sleep right next to the railway line, right next to it. And every day without fail, a train would go whistling by right next to him at 37 minutes past 1, 1:37 a.m. every day without fail. But this man would not be disturbed at all. He would just sleep through the whistling. Undisturbed. Totally undisturbed. One day the train happened to be late. It did not come at 1:37. No whistling. Exactly at 1:37 the man got up and said, what has happened? Something is wrong. If you are not hearing about Krishna, if you are silent of hearing about Krishna, please wake up and say something is wrong. Srila Prabhupada once, He was in Vrindavan and he was taking rest. He was working on his Srimad Bhagavatam translations. At 2 o'clock, he called his servant and said, "Did you hear something? Did any one of you all hear something during this silence?" The servant said, "No, Prabhupada." Prabhupada again kept quiet. "Did you hear something? Please, did any one of us hear something in this silence? There's something very mystical here, isn't it? Something very mystical is going to be said." But this person knew, he's in front of Prabhupada. So he said, "No, Prabhupada, I did not hear anything." He said, "Even I did not hear anything. Go and wake up the watchman who's supposed to ring the bell every hour. It's already 2 o'clock and no bell has been rung." So whenever there is no hearing about Krishna, please ring the bell. Something is wrong. Something is not proper. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, another Acharya's composition, he says, "Krishnera madhuravani amritera tarangini tara pravesh nahi eshravane kana kadi chidra sama jani hase shravana tara janma hailo okarane." Topics about Krishna are like waves of nectar. If such nectar does not enter one's ear, the ear is no better than the hole of a damaged conch shell. Such an ear is created for no purpose. Something is terribly wrong. If you are not hearing, that ear is not hearing about Krishna. Something is terribly wrong. A damaged conch shell will make no sound and it will hold no water. What is the use of such a conch shell? Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramanand Rai, he said, "Shravan madhya jivera kon shresht shravan?" And Ramanand Rai said, "Radha Krishna prema keli karna rasayan." He said, "Hearing about the pastimes of the Lord along with His devotees are nectar. They are actually the correct medicine for the disease of the ear, for the impaired person. Thus, one should always be alert and attentive while hearing." Now a very important topic, 2 points, and then we'll see what we conclude at. Since we've heard so much about hearing and its benefit, about what happens if there is some problem in hearing, whether hearing should be stopped, what type of hearing should be done, where should we hear from, is very important. One should hear from a proper source. Prabhupada said, explains using Krishna's words, that proper source means tattva darshinaha. One who has seen the truth. One who knows the truth factually. That is tattva darshinaha. And Prabhupada gives a wonderful example for this in many other places, but we can use it for this. He says, once in one town, the news had spread that Sargal Singh has died. Everyone became very much morose. The whole village, in fact the whole town, the whole city, the whole kingdom, everyone was shaving up for Shraddha of Sargal Singh. So this news reached the king, and the king was about to shave up. And the minister said, "Why are you shaving up?" He said, "Don't you know Sargal Singh has died?" The minister said, "Who is Sargal Singh?" The king said, "I don't know. The whole village is mourning. The whole city, the whole kingdom is mourning for Sargal Singh. Better we also do it." Minister said, "Just a minute, I'll make some inquiry." So he asked each person and went on to his source. "From where did you hear?" And he said, "From so and so person." "From where did you hear?" "From so and so person." Ultimately, he came to the person who originally started mourning for Sargal Singh. This was a poor dhobi, a washerman. He asked him, "Who is Sargal Singh?" He said, "Sargal Singh is my donkey. For me, he's the most important person, therefore I'm mourning." So So this is meaning of inquiring from the proper source. You get to the root. Who is Sargal Singh? Ask anyone in India today, who is God? Anyone, everyone, all of us, none of us. All categories will be there. They leave nothing for option. Supposing this were a multiple choice question, who is God? Right? So Prabhupada said, Tattva Darshinaha. And he said, that person is one who has seen the truth, his guru. Once Prabhupada has asked, how do we understand who is guru? He says, guru is one who always speaks of Krishna. If you meet someone who is always speaking of Krishna, Tattva Darshina, his guru. This is another big topic to be covered later on in other lectures. But this is very important, hearing from the proper source. Why is that? Chaitanya Charitamrita explains. Malihana kare sei bijaropan, shravana kirtana jale kare sechan. Once we decide that we want to purify the polluted aim of life by following the process of hearing and chanting devotional service, it is like putting the seed of devotional service within our heart, which is a very fertile field. Now, if we want the seed to grow, we have to water the seed. And the watering process takes place by hearing and chanting. Supposing you take some water spot and there is some liquid in it, and you put it on the seed. After some time you find it's burned totally. Why? Because it was petrol. Or it was kerosene. Somebody may feel, no, I should put what? I should put nice badam pista milk there. Does it help? So a proper gardener knows how to water that seed. What is a Shravan Kirtan? This Shravan and Kirtan means hearing from the bona fide person and watering that seed of devotional service that we have. Otherwise it will get burnt. It will not fructify. Just the opposite effect could take place. Hence it is very important to hear from the proper source. Somebody may say, no, we can hear from everyone. And whatever is good we take. One cannot make the proper choice between which is a good grade of dalda ghee, or which is pure milk, or what is the proper cloth. How can one understand what is good of what one is speaking? It's just such a false notion. Yes? Therefore, from the proper source. There is a wonderful saying. Somebody asked a question, where did you get this nice ear? Where from did you get this nice ear from? And the answer is given, God spoke and it came out to hear. God did speak and the ears just want to hear about God. That is why they came out. One should not hear from an unbonafide source. What is the meaning of unbonafide? Unbonafide means a person who is either a cheat or a mad person. I'll explain to you how. What is a cheat? There was a gang of robbers. They thought that supposing one of us get caught and somebody wants to take out anything, that person may squeal, he may tell, give the information. Better let us have a deaf man as a contact. Even if he's caught, he has not heard anything, he does not speak anything. So they employed a deaf man. One day they made a big robbery and the contact person had millions of dollars with him and he disappeared. This deaf man disappeared. But this was a gang. They traced him out. After 3 months, they traced out where this person was. They caught him. And the gang leaders put him in a chair, tied him up, and started threatening him. But he's a deaf man. He cannot hear anything. So they got in an interpreter, somebody who knows sign language, something like this. So the interpreter, they told him, ask him, why did he cheat us? The deaf man replied in sign language, I did not cheat. Then why didn't he come? Why was he staying away from us for 3 months? So what can I do? The police was after me, so I ran away. Where is the money? I put it in the river and it drowned. Everything sunk in the river. So these people became very much angry. They took out their guns, put off the safety catch, put it on his forehead, and told the interpreter, now tell him, if he doesn't tell us where the loot is, where the money is, we'll shoot him. The man understood, now the deaf man understood, his life is, and these people can shoot him. She said, I have put everything in my briefcase and it is under, in the cellar of my house. So the interpreter replied to the gang leader, he says, he does not know where the loot is and he does not believe you'll shoot him. What do you make of that? Now tell us. What is the interpreter doing? Cheating business. A nonsense. And that is what Prabhupada says. People take the Bhagavad Gita and interpret. Krishna says, serve me. And they say, don't serve Krishna. Krishna says, I am God. And they say, no. Krishna is not God. Krishna, something within or without or somewhere in between is God. Cheaters. They are interpreting. They should be shot. So these are the cheaters, unbonafide source, unbonafide people, never hear from them. The second is mad person. There's a mad scientist. One day he decided to study the frog. He took a frog, put him on a table, looked at him, focused on him like putting him in a trance and said, jump. The frog jumped. He made some note. Frog jumped. The next day he came, took a scissor and cut off one leg. Now three legs with the frog. He looked at his frog and said, jump. The frog jumped. Three legs, frog jumps. The third day he comes and cuts off another leg. Two legs and says, jump. Some of the frog jumps. Two legs, frog jumps. Fourth day he comes in, cuts off the third leg. And tells the frog, jump. Somehow the frog on one leg jumps. He says, one leg frog jumps. Fifth day he comes. Mad scientist, completely mad, takes the scissors and cuts off the last leg. Frog is without legs. Then he looks at the frog, concentrates on him, into his eyes, totally. Jump. Frog does not jump. He's amazed. He said, jump, jump, jump. Frog does not jump. He said, jump. No jump. Writes in his diary, after all four legs are cut off, frog becomes deaf. How can we believe such persons? I read the Gita and I realize God is feeling. What feeling? I read any book and I get some feelings. Mad people, they try to make come to their own, they do their own speculation, come to their own conclusions. This is what is unbonafide source. A Vaishnava Mukhod Girnam Putam Hari Kathamritam Shravana Naiva Kartavyam Sarpochishta Yathapayaha. From such people, one has the duty not to hear. Not to hear. This is our duty, not to hear. Naiva Kartavyam. Not to hear. We should not hear from them. Why? Just as milk touched by the lips of a serpent becomes poisonous. Similarly, whatever they speak is very poisonous. Another thing that we should not hear is ordinary things that have no relationship with whatsoever in our life. We were going in a train to Vrindavan just a few days back. Two persons were sitting on the same berth. We had RAC seat. One for the top berth and the one with, who was sharing with us. 20 hours. The train takes 22 hours to reach Vrindavan from Bombay Central. These persons must have slept for 4 hours and they made me also sleep only for 4 hours. When we entered there, the first thing they asked is, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. I said, yes. Juhu? I said, three temples, Bombay. I visited Vrindavan, I visited Bangalore, I visited Delhi. They were from Haridwar. Haridwar also very good temple. I said, yes, very nice. I was chanting. You will do this always? I said, yes, I'll be chanting regularly. And from then, when they started non-stop Vivid Bharati, every single person that they knew in their life, their roots, which school they studied, how many times they failed, where they passed, how many children they had, whom they got married to, What is the problem with the finance minister? What is the problem with the Ambani brothers? Everything they discussed. What is that got to do anyways with their lives? And we were chanting. They could have taken the inspiration to chant. You try to teach such persons, from experience we know, they'll say, yeah, we do it every day in the morning. Definitely we do it 10 minutes. But so much excited for such things called as Gramya Katha. Gramya Katha we should be very careful of. And we should be very careful not to hear even if that is going on. An example is given. Once a donkey, somehow or the other, could not serve. So the master pushed him into a dry well. But even after the donkey fell into the well, the donkey survived. The donkey became slightly deaf actually. Survived. When the master saw the donkey still surviving, he said, what to do? Somehow the donkey must die. So he got some carton load of dirt and put it into the well so as to bury the donkey. So when the donkey saw the mud falling, first he wondered, what is the master doing? But then he said, when the mud fell, it made a small mound. So some thought came to his mind. So he climbed on top of that small mound. When the master saw this was happening, he tried to put in more dirt to drown him fast. And slowly this mud was collecting, going up and up and up, and the donkey was going on, standing on top of that. And finally a donkey came out. The master became very angry. He said, you fool! Didn't you hear? I was cursing you to die. And the donkey replied, in the story donkey speaks. So the donkey replied, I thought you were helping me to come out. You are encouraging me to come out. So the donkey was very much oblivious to what the master was saying. And he was in his own smaranam, his own remembrance, thinking that this is what I should be doing. Similarly, Gramya Katha is something that we are going to be exposed to. But we should have something always to keep us away from that. Because we have to come out of this well, of this pit, of this dark existence of polluted life. Right? And third thing that is very important is, as one progresses in devotional service, one comes to a very important aspect of relationship with devotees. Not to offend devotees or Vaishnava Parat. One should never hear the ninda or the blasphemy of other devotees. That is very dangerous. It is called as mad elephant offense. This is another big topic. We'll not cover it at this time. But one should be careful of this. One should not hear from an unbonafide source. One should not hear Gramya Katha. And one should not hear blasphemy towards others, especially devotees, even other living entities. Why unnecessarily do that? There is a saying about this. A person is saying, I have often lamented that we cannot close our ears with as much ease as we can close our eyes. So easily we close our eyes, but to close our ears is so difficult. One must learn how to close one's ears. Bhagavad Gita Krishna explains that, just like a tortoise. When a tortoise is in danger, all the limbs go inside. When the tortoise is feeling free, all the limbs come outside. That is a proper use of one's hearing. Krishna and no Krishna. Krishna and no Krishna. Yes, this can be some aerobic exercise for us every day. Krishna, tortoise limbs out. No Krishna, tortoise limbs in. The Hari Bhakti Vilas explains now what is real hearing. To faithfully hear with one's ears the holy names and the characteristics of Sri Hari, chanted either by oneself or by others, is called Shravanam, or hearing. To faithfully hear, each word is like a sutra, it is condensed. Yeah, it is rasna, real powder here, condensed milk, condensed nectar. Faithfully hear with one's ears holy names and characteristics of Sri Hari, chanted either by oneself or by others. The saying goes, one very important saying is, the hearing ear is always found close to the speaking tongue. In other words, in Prabhupada's own words, he said, my Guru Maharaj, he said of me, because he hears nicely, he will preach nicely. Those who have heard properly, automatically the tongues wag properly. The tongues move properly. Right? So the saying is, the hearing ear is always found close to the speaking tongue. And finally, to close, in this age of Kali, the Supreme Lord has appeared in such a munificent, sublime and easy way for us to hear His holy names. Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam Eva Kevalam, Kalau Naaste Eva Naaste Eva Naaste Gatir Anyatha. Gati, the aim of human form of life cannot be achieved by any other way, any other way, any other way in this dark age of Kali, except through hearing the holy names of the Lord, hearing the holy names of the Lord, hearing the holy names of the Lord, and chanting them, and chanting them, and chanting them. Unless and until we hear the names properly, from someone who is chanting properly, from the proper spiritual master, we cannot properly chant. Hence, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he says, the whole process, this ninefold devotional process, is very important, and it begins with Shravanam Kirtanam, with hearing. And since we've heard so nicely now on these very different topics, next Sunday will be Kirtanam, or chanting, glorifying. So today we've covered this topic. We've heard, we've understood what is hearing, we've understood the meaning of what is real hearing, we've understood what should be heard, we've understood from where it should be heard, we also discussed on what should not be heard, and finally we've concluded with the best means in this age is to properly hear and chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Niram Santi Sahasrasha, Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedhinam. This is the problem that Shukdev Goswami says is there in this, specifically in this age of Kali, otherwise at all times. People like to hear, but they hear anything. If we were as careful as we are with what we wear, as with what we eat, with our hearing, things would be much different. How much choosy we are in all of these things, we must choose properly what to hear. So every day people are hearing so many things that is simply causing more and more delusion. And then Shukadev Maharaj offers the remedy. And he says, if one wants to be free from this danger of hearing unrequired things from unbonafide places, non-bonafide places, what should be done? Tasmat Bharat Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavasya Kirtitavyascha Smartatavyascha Chithabhayam. If one wants to be free from the perils that are there in material existence, the way is through hearing, chanting and remembering the Supreme Lord who is Bhagwan, Ishwar and Hari. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's quite late. Maybe just one question if somebody has. Then we can go for Kirtan. Comments? Anyone has any queries? Yeah, you can speak in the mic.
Hello. How do we know which is the proper source? How do we distinguish the proper source?
Which is the proper source? How do you know who is the proper source from where we should hear? Yeah, that's a very important question since we touched on that. It's a very big topic. But for now, let us suffice to say that a proper source means one who has a proper source. Right? Prabhupada would say that means a person, one must hear from someone who has heard from someone proper, who has heard from someone proper. Ultimately, it goes up to Krishna. And he said this is called a disciplic succession or parampara. So in parampara, if something is coming, that we should hear. Then we should confirm it by hearing from other sadhus also. And personally also through reading Shastra. So how do we know what is proper is through this tripod. It is called Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Alright? It means we hear from someone who is a sadhu, then we confirm it by hearing from other sadhus. They also should speak the same thing. Till today in India at least we have not found somebody changing the verses of the Gita. Except in Andhra Pradesh where there is a new Gita come out where it says, so and so Baba Uvacha. That's true. Instead of Krishna Uvacha, Sri Bhagwan Uvacha, it is Baba Uvacha. And so speaks Baba. Right? So other sadhus will confirm, no, this is Sri Bhagwan Uvacha. And then we personally read it. We should also confirm it. Right? We also have the responsibility. So this is a prerequisite. Based on that, there are other qualifications. What are the qualifications of the person who are hearing? What is the qualification that one should also have? If you want to go deeper into this, there is a nice book, The Spiritual Master and Disciple. It's available in a stall. It explains much more on this topic. Or any other books available by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. It has touched on this topic in greater detail. Since it is beyond the scope of today's lecture, we'll suffice with that. It should be in proper parampara and confirmed like this. Okay? Thank you very much. Is there someone else who raised your hand? Okay. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki. Samkirtan.